Amen. So, amen. It's good stuff. Amen. God's word is good. It's inspired word of God that's sent forth to help us. Amen. So Matthew 16, and I'm going to look at verse 13. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, what or who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that you are John the Baptist, some say Elias, others say you're Jeremias, or one of the prophets. Now, look at this. How many of you think he was impressed with that? Just what do you think? I will tell you, he wasn't impressed with that. He didn't say, well, wow, that's wonderful. I didn't know that. No, he wasn't impressed with that. You know why? Because none of those things came from the Word of God. Not a one of them. Nothing. Nada. In fact, they all came from everything from superstitions to traditions to, and it shows you how far deep into this culture was already, into reincarnation and different things, you know, like Hinduism, we have it. You know, he was not impressed with that. But you know what he did? He was interested in what they had to say about it. You know why? Because out of the abundance of their hearts, the mouth speaks. But listen, out of what they've been putting into them is what came out. And so it was a revelation, or it was a revealing of what was in them. And you know, we have the same deal. We have to deal with this today. If you watch the news very long, you know, I don't want to get off into politics and all that. But you know what? If you watch this stuff very long, you're going to come back. If you think you're getting information from that, you are misinformed. You are misinformed because, you know, most of them are trying to twist it to meet some sort of agenda and some sort of thing they're trying to push. Even the people that say they're on the right side, you know, as we call the right side, even they get it wrong all the time. You know, here's the point about this. It's nothing wrong with knowing what men say about it, but it's so important what everybody say. You say about it. Everybody say that. What I say, make it personal. What I say about it. He wants to know what you're going to say about it. Is what you're going to say about it line up with what he is saying? And so none of them answered that except for one. Peter comes up. Listen closely. Peter says, you art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, you are blessed. Because flesh and blood, natural man, did not reveal this to you, but my Father, my Holy Spirit, the Father, which is in heaven, he revealed it to you. Now, let's just stop there. What did Peter say? Let's all say it together. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. What do you say about Jesus? You are the Christ. Let's also include Romans in this. You are my Lord. You're my Lord and Savior, the Son of the living God. Woo! Amen? What do you say about it? You're my Lord. Is he your Lord? I believe he is. I'm not questioning you to put a question mark in it. I'm just asking you. I want you to confirm this thing really from your gut, so to speak. Is he your Lord?
That's right.
Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Amen? Let's all say it. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Let's just do that a few times. Let's let it resonate. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. One more time. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. You are that. Now listen, Peter was saying this by the revelation of the Holy Ghost, that's who you are, and that's who you are to me, to him, to Peter. He says, that's who I say. I know what he's, I heard that. He says, I was tempted to say that, but I heard something else. The word of the Lord came to me and says, that's who you are. Okay, I'm going to ask you again. Is he?
Yes, he is.
Everybody say, yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is. Amen. Yes, he is. There's a song about that. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. That's who he is. To you and your house. And until we become so solid in that, we can't change those voices that have put tradition. But I see we can't. It makes it more difficult. Listen, but with him, all things are possible. Because the greater one lives in you. So notice here that he asked him this question. But look at this next part. This is so big. This is the biggest part coming up. I'm passionate about this because I want you to really see this. Listen closely. So he says, Peter, you're blessed. Because you didn't get this from natural traditions and from the men and from the news. And I'm adding today's circuits to this. From the news media, from the person at the coffee shop. And you got this from my Father in heaven. And he says, and I say to you. Now he's saying something. He asks them what they say. Now he says something to them. I say to you that you are Peter. And upon this rock, I will build my church. What rock was that? Listen, it wasn't Peter. Yeah, what the statement he made, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, but also the fact that revelation knowledge came to him through the Holy Spirit and the Father God. That's the rock. That's the rock, revealed knowledge. Upon this rock I will build my church. And look at this. Everybody say the gates. And the gates of hell will not win. They won't win with you. They won't win against the church. They won't win against the person who says, I got this from God. I didn't, you know, now it's good you came here and you're hearing this as a corporate body. We're getting this, you know, and I'm telling you, this was not my message Wednesday. The Holy Spirit, so don't build me. I'm not doing it at all. I want you to tell you this. The Lord told me to change this for today. You know why? Because we have to get this down. We are in a time in which the blood of Jesus and the authority that has been given to you and I is necessary for the health of your children, for the lives of your children, for the lives of your families and your neighbors, and to all that are far off. Never forget, Exodus 11 and 12, we won't spend a lot of time, but when they did the Passover feast, every man, every house a lamb. Then you know what it says? Oh, and by the way, if your neighbor happens to be too small, there might have been a single mom there. Who knows what it was? If the neighbor's house is too small, bring them into your house. Because, listen, every man, that means every person needs this lamb. All of them. So you have lambs, and you know, you have the lamb. You know of the Jesus. Guess what? Your neighbor may not. The neighbor there is very true in actuality, but it's also symbolic. If you know somebody that needs a lamb, help them. Because they need the lamb. That's what your authority is about. We need to be done with being this. And I'm not talking about people, you personally, nothing. As a group, as a body of Christ, we got to stop being wimps. We got to stop being anemic. You know, I saw a poster one time and I laughed about it, and I really, you know, fortunately it was kind of true. It said if you went to trial by being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? You know, come on. Yeah, everybody say yes. Yes, I am. Because listen, that's what they say, but I'm telling you, here's what we say. Yes, there would be. Why? Because we are full of the Holy Ghost and power. Full of the Holy Ghost and power. That's what we say. That's what we say. We're the blessed. We're the prosperous. We're the well. We're full of revelation knowledge because the Word of God is strong in this house. Amen? Amen. And listen, no more. The pastor doesn't say this over you. I've been tempted. You know, I've talked to people and said, well, I'm going to give you some scriptures to read. And they say, well, I think I can find my Bible somewhere. You know what? Come on, folks. This is life to those that find them. It's not about some duty to do it. It's about a desire. It says, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. You know, if you're not hungry, I've been there. I've been there when I tell you what, picking up my Bible was like, oh, do I need to do that today? Yes, Pastor Roger had that in his life in the past. But you know what had to happen out of that? I asked God to help me. Lord, you know, Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? 3 times. And he's asking, but he said, Peter says, yeah, I do. He said, wait a minute, Peter, do you love me? What was happening there? Peter was saying, the words used there, the Hebrew says, the King James says, love me. The Hebrew says 2 different words. One says, like me. In fact, Peter answered back, I kind of like you a lot. I really just kind of need you. And Jesus said, what? Don't you love me with the God kind of love, Zoe love, agape love, with the kind of love that would give your life for me? Peter said, no, I just kind of like you a lot. Now, here's why this is going this route. Think about this. So Lord, Peter finally answers, Lord, you know what's really in my heart. You know what Jesus said? Nevertheless, feed my sheep. You know what else he said? And I'm praying for you. He says, because Satan's got he's got a bullseye on you. Now listen, same phraseology is what we're going to see here in Job here in a few minutes. Satan's got a bullseye on you, but I have prayed for you. He says, Satan desires to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith, actually he says this, that your love wouldn't fail, that your faith not fail, but he was talking about love. Because love undergirds faith, right? So think about this. So he's prayed for him. Now, so get this picture. He knows, God, you know if I'm hungry. Lord, you know that I'm not that hungry right now. You know I've slacked off. I don't really have spent time with you. But you know what? But I want to do better. He'll work with that. He will work with that. But be sincere about it and do something about it, you know? Ask God to help you. Ask him how to show you to prioritize perhaps better. Will you put a priority involved in this? That wasn't what I was supposed to go right now, but I wasn't planning on going there, but I think we're supposed to go there. But listen closely to what he says. This is so important. He says, you're Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Did you know the Bible says that your seed will inherit the gates of the enemy? It will control the gates of the enemy. If you control the gates, what do you control? Access, what comes in and what goes out, right? If you got the gates, you control what goes in and goes out. Okay, if you possess the gates, what gates would you say you ought to be controlling? Now, just make it personal. You don't have to say it out loud, but think about it. One of the gates is your ear gates. What you hear, what you listen to, what you receive. You have the mind of Christ, and you've got the Word of God. You've got such a major blessing. I've been in countries where we taught, they said, we've heard about that Bible. Are you serious? You've just heard about it? Yeah, about 40 years ago, and it had to be some Catholics came through and gave us a little handouts, little pamphlets that had some of the words. We've lost most of them. We have one of them in the neighborhood somewhere. Look what you've got. Look what we have. That's not to make you feel guilty. It's to make you feel privileged. You are privileged to have that. He says the gates of hell. You've got something you can read, listen to, get the voice of God, the very heart of God. It was written that it was could be spoken. It was spoken so it could be, it was written so it could be spoken. It was spoken so it could be written. It was written so it could be spoken. You have the ability to speak the very word of God that came to you. Look at the next verse here. Upon his gates. And he says, and I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall bound or loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, if you have keys, what do keys do? Okay? I'm going to ask Jackie this, because she's in a profession that she does this, as many prosperous closes she does it probably every day. When somebody closes and you hand them the keys, what's that significant of in terms of the closing? Say it real loud.
Ownership.
When you have keys, it's access. There are doors you can open and there's doors you can close. This needs to have something come in. This needs to be shut so nothing else can take it out. Whatever the reason is, it's called access. Listen to what the new Living Translation says on this. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and what you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Do you hear what it said? What you forbid. Boy, are you quiet. Does it say that or not? Not sure? Okay. Whatever you bind on earth, let's just go back to binding then. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Okay, let's get real personal here. What about when you hear the wisdom of someone else? Now we're going to go to James 3 and talk about wisdom. And it didn't come from the scripture, and it says, and somebody says, well, you know, I just really don't think it's God's will for everyone to prosper. What happened there? What'd you listen to? another gospel. Yeah. It's not really a good news, though. But the point is another word, right? Now, wait a minute. So what if you say, okay, I always thought he really wanted to prosper, but, you know, I guess he doesn't want me to prosper. And you start talking about this. What'd you just do? You did loosing and binding. Now, is heaven restricted on you? Do you actually bind up heaven? It's not that you bind up heaven. Listen, the word of God can't work through that because it goes against his word. I'll give you another one. And this is a big one. It's not God's will to heal all the time. Not everybody gets healed. I got a major problem with that. You know why? Because the same blood that paid for my healing paid for your salvation. Does God heal? Does God save everybody? No, let's clean that up. Is it God's will for everybody to be saved? Yes. Are you sure? How can you be positive and say that other thing too? Huh? It's in the word. But what I'm saying is, how can a person be positive in that and not be positive in the other? How they get double-minded. Or they listen to something else as well. They took a tradition of men. They took a word from somebody else. And something based on experience, something based on, well, I know somebody this happened to. I get all of that. I've been there, done that, bought that t-shirt. It doesn't work. It goes against God himself. And you say, well, I just don't believe this happened. You know what? You have keys. You have ownership, right? We have ownership. We take ownership of what Jesus did for us. We take ownership of it. And it's my, now listen, everybody say, well, if God wants it, he'll see to it it happens. You know what? If that was a case, then he would not have brought Jesus, just got them all saved, and let's go home. But the reality is, men have authority, and he gave them that authority in his will, and he gave them options and gave them a decisive will to make a decision. And he says, they that call upon my name shall be saved. We did that earlier, right? The name of the Lord, Jesus Christ, is my Lord and Savior. So look at this. Go to James 3. James 3. Wow. Gary, you can turn that clock back if you want right there. He's back there by the clock. Just turn that hand up there about 15 minutes. No, don't do that. That wouldn't be honest. James 3. James 3 and verse 14. Praise you, Lord. This is going to help you. Don't turn this off. I've heard people say things like, you know, well, you've taught on that before. Dan, what'd you have for lunch yesterday? Or dinner? Just pick out something. What's that? Pulled pork. First time? You've had it before? You actually ate pulled pork when you already had it before? Did you go up to him and say, I had that last week, or I had it a month? You didn't do that. Why is that? Oh, your wife made it. Yeah. I should have thought that was coming. But could you imagine going to a smorgasbord and saying, I've had that before? You know, if you did that, you'd starve. You'd starve. And the Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God for the profiting of us. Amen? All given. So we're going to read this again. Look at James 3. And it says that, what is a wise man do? Verse 13. What is a wise man do with knowledge among you? Show him forth of a good conversation, his works with meekness and wisdom. Okay. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not. And it says, and lie not against thy truth. If you're taking notes, write this down. John 17:17. Jesus was asked about what truth was. He said, thy word, God's word, is truth. So don't lie against, you know, we would not ever lie against the word of God's truth, right? Intentionally, you wouldn't do that, right? Well, when we speak against his word or say something contrary to his word, you're speaking against the truth. You decide what happens next. So don't do it, he says. Just don't do it. Look at this. For the wisdom, this wisdom that would do this descends, doesn't come from above, but it comes from earthly wisdom. And look at this. It's sensual. It comes from senses. And it's devilish, or you could say it this way, it's inspired by demons. Wow. Where do you think this comes from when somebody gets some word and they try to influence somebody else, say, well, you know, we just don't believe God heals all the time, or that God prospers all the time, or even some may say God doesn't save all the time. What's that coming from? That's not God's wisdom. That's the same thing that Jesus said, what are men saying? And they say, well, some say this, some say this, some say over this, over here. He says, okay, so what do you say? Oh, no, we believe. Amen. We believe that the word of God says, and if you said it, it's so. Everybody say it's so.
It is so.
Amen. So look at the next part. So the wisdom that comes from below or from earth wisdom or from man's sensual realm or from man's experiences or all this, all that, if it's not the word of God, it said it comes from the senses and it's inspired by devils. I don't know about you. I'm not interested. I'm not interested. You know, I don't want that in my life. You know, if you've got it, I'm interested in helping you. Which, you know, I'm not saying it over you. I'm just saying, I'm not making a point that I don't care. I'm saying I will not take that care. That's not part of my life. I'm not doing it. And trust me, there's been many things that the Word of God had to clean me up. I promise you, I wasn't born that way. I had stuff, but the Word will help you. Amen. Next part here says, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion and some say every other evil work. I don't know about you. I don't want that. I don't want confusion, and I don't want every evil work, of course. But look at this. But the wisdom that is from above is first peaceable, first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be received, entreated, full of mercy, full of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace to them that make peace. Karen and I had a friend of ours. We haven't seen her quite some time, her and her husband. But Karen, this lady was a wonderful lady, raised in church, you know, but had some confessions that was really contrary to what she really wanted. You know, her words were constantly doing that direction. Well, Karen was courageous and said, you know, the word says this, maybe you ought to say that. You know what her answer back was? Now, I'm not picking on her. I'm just telling you what happened. She said, well, I really couldn't do that because I'd be a hypocrite. Hypocrite? Why is that? Because it's not really what's happening in my life right now. I said, well, but Karen said, well, yeah, but you know, the Bible tells you to call things to be not as they were. Start saying that rather than saying what you have. Start seeing what God's told you to have. Well, I'd be a hypocrite. Here you go. The Bible says you are not in hypocrisy if you say what God said. You are not in hypocrisy. Say, well, what if it's not true in my life yet? You speak it over to it until it comes to pass. You like God, you call things to be not as though they were. Now, there's a way to do it. There's a way you could do that would be deceptive, you know? You don't try to make somebody think you are something that you're not. But there's nothing wrong with saying, by the blessing of God, the Word of God says this. This is what I'm calling forward in my life. I call things to be not as though they were. By His stripes, I'm healed in Jesus' name. You're not lying. You are not lying. You are not in hypocrisy. You are saying, you will never be in hypocrisy saying what God says. You will not. Will not. Amen? It's pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, and it says there's fruit from it in righteousness shown in peace. So why do we say all that? Let's go to John 10. Now I want you to pick up on what you forbid. Let me see what you forbid. What you forbid in heaven, and it's forbidden in heaven, of course, it'll be forbidden in here. But I want you to pick up on this next part here. John 10, this changed my life when I really made this an important part of my life. John 10:10, it says here that the thief cometh not. In other words, the King James says it comes only for one reason. The thief comes only for one reason, and it's to kill, to steal. Actually, it's to steal first, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So what does the thief come for? To steal, to kill, and destroy. Jesus said, what? I have come. Everybody say, I have come. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And I think the Amplified says, have it to the full till it overflows. And guess what that word life is? It's Zoe life. What does that mean, Kim? What kind of life is that? It's God's life. It's His provision of life. It's not just I'm breathing life. It's God's life. It's a super abundant lifestyle. Now, so what did Jesus come for? What did he come for? It's an open book test right here. What did he come for? He says, Jesus came that I might have life and have it more abundantly. What did Satan come for? To kill, steal, and destroy. So this is pretty easy, guys. If it's killing, stealing, or destroying, who is it from? Who said this? Everybody say, Jesus said this. Now, a few minutes ago, you said he was your Lord, right? Everybody say, he's my Lord. I'm not changing my mind now, amen? No. But if a thief, if it's stealing, if it's killing, if it's trying to destroy me, where's it from? Say it. If it's life, more abundantly, where's it from?
Jesus.
Now, who told him to say that? You sure? How we know that? It's in the Word, right? I hear people quoting Scripture all over the house. And that's good. Praise God. I'm excited about that. That's wonderful. Praise God. Give you a few. I won't turn to all of them, but just a few of them. John 14:10 says this. He says, he was talking to Philip. He says, the words that I speak, I don't speak of myself, but the Father which sent me, okay, I quoted the last part. Believe not that I'm in the Father, and Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I don't speak of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. What words is he speaking? His Father words, right? It says, I speak the words of the Father. Let's go to John 8. Do a couple more here real quick. John 8, 28. Then Jesus said to him, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father has taught me, I speak these things. In John 14, 10, we didn't read his first part, but 9, he says, Philip, have I been so long with you that you don't know me by now? See, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In Hebrews, it says this. Hebrews 1 in chapter 2, both all through there. It says, Jesus was the exact image of the Father. If you've seen him, you can see, you know what he's thinking. Jesus said this, and let's go to John 12. Jordan, I'm happy to do this kind of quick. They can write these down, look them up later again if you'd like. John 12, 49. Look at this. John 12:49. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment that what I should say and what I should speak. What did he command him to say? Everything that Jesus said, he said because the Father told him to say it. And he told you, that understand this, that the thief comes for one reason, to steal, kill, and destroy. He says, I have come that you might have life and have more abundantly. That's what he said, right? Did he say it or not? I'm looking at you saying yes somehow, amen? He said it. I'm not trying to pick on you. I'm just, listen, get this nailed down. This will help you. So what happens when you find something in the Scripture? What happens when you find something in the Scripture that you don't understand? And it looks maybe different than this. Like, for example, with Job, we won't probably have time to spend a lot of time on this, but Job will come back and do some more. Think about Job. If you read that Scripture that says, and the sons of God, sons of men came and presented themselves to the Lord. And it says that God says to him, says, have you considered my servant Job? Now, when was Job, what's, anybody know the timeline of the book of Job? It happens to be the oldest book on record written. It's the oldest, age-wise, it's the oldest one. They didn't have the book of Job to read. They didn't have it to read how it turned out. They didn't have the Gospels to see how it turned out. So many things in the Old Testament, Jesus goes and cleans up. He talks about a lot of things about this and talks about it. And when I say he cleans it up, he shows you the picture of what was said there. But you know what the word there says, have you considered my servant Job? And it goes on to say, because let's just turn there. Job 1, because I want to read you what it says in another area that will help you a lot on this. Now, because this is important, I need about 6 more minutes if you'd let me have that. Anybody let me have 6 more minutes? I got 6 hands. That's 36, right? Kathy knows that's an old trick. So look, have you considered my servant Job that there's none like him? That's chapter 1, verse 8. And you're the perfect man, upright man, and that fears God and eschews evil. Then Satan answered and said to the Lord, does Job fear you for naught? Now, that word there, he says, if you consider my servant Job, my Bible has a footnote on it. It says, why have you set your heart? One of the other translations, why have you made a bullseye on Job? God's asking, why are you set your heart on Job? Now, see, if you read that the other way, you're going to think, well, God's saying, hey, did you try taking Job out for me? I just was curious, you know, have you tried to take a shot at Job? He's not doing that. He's literally saying, why do you have your heart set? Why do you have a bullseye on Job? And he tells him, he's perfect. Now, you think about, well, God's in control. Why do you stop him? Oh, wait a minute. God was in control so much that he put Adam in charge, and Adam forfeited his authority to another being who's running. The Apostle Paul called him the God of this world has blinded the eyes, right? So there's an authority thing that's going on right here. And listen closely. Now, I want you to pick up on this, because if you take off right now and say, well, God did it and God allowed it, then you just violated John 10:10 that Jesus said the thief comes. In fact, in 2, I think it's 2 verse 8. Now, like I said, it's not 2 verse 8. Job 2. Yeah, verse 7, excuse me. And Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with boils. So who did it? Satan did it. Everybody say Satan did it. Now, I want you to go back to chapter 1. This is where I need my six minutes. It takes a few minutes here. Because I want you to pick up on this. We as believers will not fall for this. Because there's something going on here you need to know about. And it's really important. So what's the devil doing with God when he presents himself to him? Listen closely. Hear it in light of this. He says this. And the Lord said to Satan, why do you have a bullseye on my servant Job that there's none like him? 9. Satan says, Job, does he fear you for nothing? Now he starts accusing God. He says, he don't fear you for nothing. He says, you have done nothing but bless the man. You've prospered him, made him rich. You've guarded and protected him. You know what he's saying to him? He's saying, it's not even fair. You've gave him special treatment. What does that sound like to you? Say it, Ben. It's an accusation. Jordan put up Revelations 12. I think it's 10. I don't know when I get there. 10, 12, 10. Yes, look at this. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of God, and the power of his Christ. Listen to this. For the accuser, everybody say it, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Uh-oh. Who's the accuser of the brethren? Who's the accuser? Satan. Next verse. Can you roll down one more, Jordan? To 11? Okay. It says, for they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame him. Who's that? The accuser, right? By the blood of the Lamb. Why is that important? Okay. Dick. When did you get born again? What year? Just ballpark. 88. Okay, 86. You did some lousy stuff. I'm making this up. Lousy stuff, all right? Somebody comes up and says in 1990, oh, I know what you did. What do you do? Okay, because you overcome him by the blood. That accusation has been covered by the blood of Jesus. And the word of your testimony. What's your testimony? I received the blood of Jesus. Think about this. Now think about this. So now here comes the tough question I'm going to ask you. What happens? Who's the accuser of the brethren? You know, I can't accuse you. You could, you know, here's what I should do. And I'm developing this greater, you know, I'm working on this. Lord help me in those things, right? If Dan walked up to me and slapped me in the face, you know what I should do? I should say, did you trip? Did you trip and your hand flap hit me in the face? Huh. Why? Because love takes no account of a suffered wrong and it won't accuse him. So what does it happen when we say God caused this to happen? Or God didn't heal them because he doesn't always heal everybody. What's going on here? It's an accusation. And who's behind it? It is not God. Please listen to this. It's not God. It can't be. If I start accusing Dan of something to do, you know what? Somebody's putting words in my mouth, giving me thoughts, giving me, you know, you know what? That's not God. His wisdom is pure, peaceful. I did that twice now. Peaceable, easy to be entreated. It's full of righteousness. We must not. Now listen, if we have questions, we're trying to learn this, that's okay, listen. But when we're done with this, we go look at it differently. Why? Because we now have a word from Jesus that says, this is who I am. And I said what God said. So when you go back and read this, you've got to plug that in. Now, I've done this. It's helped me so much. I've had situations in my life. I had things come up. And honestly, I thought I was being punished. I didn't know what was going on. I thought, man, I'm being punished. And Karen and I have done this. We've taken this piece of paper. It's called a Ben Franklin comparison, so to speak. You draw a line down the middle. I put John 10:10 at the top. Jesus, life, more abundantly, to the full. I put down a few other verses on there. I've not come to condemn the world, but to save them. Not condemn, but to save me. I have come that you might have life. Over here, sickness, or put up there, steal, kill, and destroy. Steal, kill, and destroy. And I take the situation going on in my life, which sides it fall on. Boom, this one on the devil, this one over on God. And it just separated the two right there. And guess where it came from? Jesus said it. Everybody say Jesus said it. Jesus said it. And God told him to say it. If you want to know the will of God, there in a short little segment in this area of life is the will of God. It's known to you. And with you have that understanding, now what is this? This is a key. Listen closely. This is a key. This is a key to the kingdom. This is ownership. So when you go and say, well, I'm not really sure if God heals all the time, and you're fighting something off, guess what happens? You're uncertain in it. You left the door open. You've not forbid it. You've not forbid it, for sure. I'm not saying you received it, but you for sure haven't forbid it. Listen closely. In the name of Jesus, you can jump in if you want to. In the name of Jesus, sickness and disease is over in here. I forbid it in my house. Yes, sir. Whatever that name is, we forbid it. You forbid it. You got to do it. I can't do it for you. You got to do it. I can help you. All of you, same thing. I'm not picking on her, but you know, she's listening. I know she's listening. We forbid it. We loose healing. We loose life because that's who Jesus is. The greater one that has the Zoe life lives in me. That's who we are. That is who we are. That's who we are.
That's the most important question that we need to start from 16. That's the love of the Lord that it gives the endurance of believing in God.
Amen. God sent his son for what? For life. That you wouldn't perish. Very good. He's got it. That God so in love did this. The wisdom of God did this. What do men say about this circumstance? Okay, what do you say? What did the doctor's report say? Whatever the case is. What did the bank account say? Whatever, doesn't matter. Whatever circumstance comes up, what did it say? What do you say? What do you say? Yes. What does the word say? That's what I say. By his stripes I'm healed. Everybody stand up. I'm the prosper. I'm the well. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That's who we are. Now listen. This was a lot, but listen, it's not too much for you. We will not, when we don't know, if I was to start over on a Tuesday night, I would ask this question. What is the book of Job about? You know, right in the middle of the book of Job, I've never heard anybody talk about this hardly. Chapter 9. You know what he says? He says, oh, if I would just have a man, and he uses this word, day's man, which means mediator. If I could just have a mediator that could put his hand on God and put his hand on me and be between us. He is prophesying of Jesus. prophesying of Jesus. Chapter 32, prophesying of Jesus. Make sacrifice for your friends, prophesying of Jesus. Pray for your friends. And the captivity of Job was released. And God blessed him and gave him back double of all he had. There's a story. There's, in a very fast nutshell, the story of Job. What happened, though? There was somebody accusing God. And the Bible says this. Job didn't understand why. This is the greatest thing of faith you can have. When he didn't understand why, he didn't accuse God. When he didn't understand why, he believed God. Listen, that is the strongest faith. When you don't understand why, I'm still going to trust God. Because there's times you won't understand why. God will show you, but you may not know at the time, but I'm going to trust God. And I will not accuse him. Won't do it. We won't do it. Amen?
Right.
Everybody say amen. We won't accuse God. I will not be the accuser. I will not let the words of Satan go out of my mouth in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Won't do it. In the name of Jesus.